Well, good morning, everyone. 2 weeks ago, one of God's saints died. You may not have known her, you may not remember her, but I'm going to use the sermonette time to tell you about one of God's children who was 92 years old, who died 2 weeks ago. Her daughter is here today, Patricia Ward. Geneva is her mother's name. The name of the lady that died, who used to be able to attend with us, but because of age and poor health, has not been able to attend services for years, was Geneva Ward, who was a member of our congregation, attended here, attended Tacoma, and in the area. She died 2 weeks ago, July the 9th. And I would like to read to you a little of information from Patricia on how this worked out, how God worked out the details, and tell you a little bit about this lady who is special in God's sight. We all remember the psalm that says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So when one saint dies, one of God's children, one of God's true people, that is something that is precious to God. Patricia writes, and Patricia's here today, and at the end of services today, after the whole service is over, I will just ask you all to remain in your seats, and we'll be hearing some comments from family and friends, more personal things about Geneva, so that you might know who this faithful woman was. But I'll read from what Patricia wrote on her last visit. Now, Patricia and her sons live in Silverton, Oregon, and had come up to visit her mother. She writes, "We were able to see my mother on the Sabbath of July the 9th in the evening. She was in very poor condition and was being affected by her pain medications. She had made the decision herself to just be allowed to fall asleep without any more trips to the hospital to try to prolong her life. She told us all goodbye. However, within the hour while we were there, her medications wore off enough for her to become more alert and delighted to see that we, that is myself and my sons Preston, Philip, Roderick, and his wife, Mary Ann, were all there. She asked for food, and my son Roderick fed her sherbet and pudding, which she ate very happily. She talked to all of us. We thought that she seemed to be so much better and that she would last at least a few more days. However, she knew better. We kept saying that we would see her in the morning. We would come back to visit with her. And she just kept saying and smiling and saying to us, 'No, I'll see you in a couple of seconds.' And we didn't understand until later what she meant. And when we left, she smiled and waved goodbye. And she fell asleep and died 3 hours after we left." So that was 2 weeks ago, Sabbath evening. She would have been 92 years old on July the 14th. So just a few days shy of 92 years old. Patricia, her daughter, goes on and gives a little bit more information about her mother. Geneva Price was born in Owensboro, Kentucky, July 14th, 1913. It's a long time ago, isn't it? She married my father, Ralph Ward, in 1948. I, Patricia Ward, was born in 1950, their only child. Her parents were the finest people I have ever known, and they were actually like my second parents rather than grandparents. They were James and Lizzie Price. And she had one brother, J.R. Price, and one sister, Anna Louise Price, both now deceased. The pride and joy of my mother's life was the arrival in 1940 of her sister's son, Charles Oliver Cecil. Everyone who knew her heard her speak of her nephew as the ambassador, as she called him. About 25 years ago, my mother followed me into the church, a few years after I had become a member. So her mother, Geneva Ward, had been a member of the church for over 25 years. She had studied and believed the truth of God's word. Here are some of the things that her mother enjoyed. She just enjoyed her cozy little apartment, and she enjoyed wearing red. She could have been a member of what, the Red Hat Society ladies, right, today? She enjoyed playing the piano. She had won a scholarship in competition as a young woman and continued to play the piano until shortly before her death. And she enjoyed sharing all the latest news about her beloved nephew, Charles. And she cherished the memories that she had of those that she loved the most in her life, her mother, her sister, her husband. She always seemed to be content and always smiling in her little apartment where she was surrounded by the photos of those that she loved. Geneva Ward is survived by her nephew Charles and his family, and her daughter Patricia Ward and her sons, Stephen, Roderick, Philip, Brandon, Justin, and Preston. And then a final comment from Patricia. We cherish our last memory of her, my mother. We kept telling her that we would see her tomorrow, and she just kept smiling and kept on saying, no, I'll see you in a few seconds. And that is how we last saw her as we left the room, her cozy little room. We saw her smiling and waving and saying goodbye and saying, I'll see you in a few seconds. Well, we'll hear a little more about Geneva at the end of services from her daughter and family and friends. But let's take a look at what did Geneva Ward mean? Most of us who are members of God's church and understand what the Bible teaches, I think you probably know what Geneva was referring to, don't you, when she said, no, I'll see you in a few seconds. Let's take a look at the scriptures that she probably had in mind, knowing the Bible and believing the Word of God, what she was thinking of. You know, and as we read these scriptures, we'll be reminded that it applies not only to Geneva Ward, that most of you may not have known, but she is one of God's precious daughters, His precious children, who was faithful to the very end, faithful to God, quietly, faithfully enduring the aging process, but she had a tremendous amount of faith and was always extremely kind. And I remember when my wife and I, when we would chat with her, just a very gracious lady. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a part of this memorial for her today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. She knew these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. We'll read through verse 16, where God's servant Paul was writing to the people of God to encourage them. He said to the Thessalonians, God's people who lived in that city, Thessalonica, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, if you have the King James Bible or the New King James Bible, then that's how it's translated, that they've fallen asleep. If you have the NIV or other newer translations, they probably translate it who have died. But the original language really means asleep. And in our language, we probably would today more say dead. But asleep actually depicts it better. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have just fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So there are people in the world who don't understand, and they really do not have the hope of the resurrection that's coming, do they? He goes on to say in verse 14, a verse not always fully understood, but let's dwell on it a moment. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, that's one of the basic tenets of the Christian faith, it's the death and resurrection of Christ. We believe that, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. What does that mean? Do we go to heaven? Do we have an immortal soul? I understand Steve Kuhn spoke on that last Sabbath and explained that. No, we don't have an immortal soul that we somehow leave the body and yet we're alive as a person and go to heaven. What the Bible does teach and say is that when we die or fall asleep, that the Spirit, which God gives to us, and this is a scripture back in Ecclesiastes 12:7, that when the body turns to dust, the Spirit returns to God who gave it. That when we are born, or even prior to that, in the womb at conception, what makes us as human beings more intelligent than animals or any other creature on earth is a Spirit that God puts into us that gives us human intelligence. And this Spirit that God puts into us from the time we are living in the womb, that Spirit from God also preserves everything that we are, that you are. Think about that now. Everything that you are as a person, your personality, your temperament, your character, everything about you is being recorded. Now, we know today with modern technology, computers, videotapes, all kinds of things, digital recording, and all, we know it's amazing what can be recorded. Everything about everybody can be kept on computers today. But God is the ultimate source of all of that, isn't he? So it's interesting to realize, and I like to think about it, that Denny, everything, the character you're building, the attitude that you have, your love for God, your love for your fellow man, all of us, all of that is being recorded, preserved, saved by God. You know, it's something up here, the Spirit, where is it? In our heart, every cell of our body? That's probably more likely it. That who we are and what we are is being preserved by God. And when the flesh dies, that Spirit that records who you are, what you are, with all of your sins forgiven, when you repent and accept Christ as your Savior, remember, tapes can be erased, bad things can be eliminated and erased. But when you die or when you fall asleep, that Spirit returns to God who gave it, the Bible says. And so you're asleep. You're not alive as a human, a being or spirit being in heaven. The Bible doesn't really teach that, even though that's a common belief. We understand that. But you know, how do you reconcile the fact that when Christ comes, he comes to resurrect the dead? If they're already there, he doesn't need to come back and resurrect them, does he? But that Spirit of the dead, which goes back to God who gives it, he will bring with him. And at the resurrection, which we will look at, we're not resurrected. The saints, those who are Christians, those who are converted, those who accepted Christ as their Savior, those who are overcoming and growing and endure to the end, those Christians are going to be changed when Christ comes back. They won't be mortal physical flesh anymore that can get sick and die. You and I know what's going to take place, don't we? Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this is what we look forward to. This is how somebody can face death and dying, you know, as you get sick or as you get old and as you just know you're going to die. Now, this hope of the resurrection, this hope of the future, is what gives us the strength we need, the courage, the faith. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, where Paul wrote, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die. Remember, when Paul wrote this, he thought he would live until the second coming of Jesus Christ. It wasn't until later in his life, when he wrote 2 Thessalonians, his last epistle, that he indicated he was going to die before this event happened. But earlier in his life, he and many of the apostles thought they would be alive when Christ returned. But he said, we will not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The Bible talks about in that day, sometime off in the future, we're going to hear the mighty blast of a trumpet that'll be heard around this earth. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. Wow. Incorruptible. From their graves. God's people, all the way back from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve and the first righteous one called Abel, and many on down the line, who are in their graves asleep right now, but their spirit is with God. And when Christ comes back, they're going to live again. See, Geneva knew that. That's why she kept saying, with a smile on her face, waving, no, I'll see you in a few seconds, because she's asleep. 1,000 years means nothing when you're asleep, right? If you could sleep soundly, totally unconscious, death is nothing more than a deep sleep to God. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice verse 42 about the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, gets old, gets sick, dies. But it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, a weak body. It is raised in glory. You know, it is sown, you know, when you're young, like many of you are, and you're in your vigorous peak of your health and your youth, you don't think about dying and getting old, and you shouldn't, you know. Or not too much anyway, just enough to be careful. But as you do get older, or as you get sickly, and you see you're getting all wrinkled, and as you get older, your skin starts wrinkling, or you get sick, and you just know that you maybe have cancer or a disease that is destroying the body, you think about these things more. And so you can imagine Geneva Ward sitting there year after year as she was so weak, she just didn't have the strength to be able to make it to services, and yet remained absolutely faithful to God with all of this in her heart and in her mind. It is raised, sown in dishonor, raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So what lies ahead for Geneva, as it does for all of those of us who also endure to the end of our lives, faithful to God, whatever it takes, that through sickness, through old age, through the end of this age, through whatever lies ahead, in our hearts and minds are set on the kingdom of God and the resurrection. Doesn't matter how tough or hard it gets, right? Nothing, I mean, things are temporary in this life. This life can be good and it can be fun, but it's temporary. And what lies ahead is permanent and eternal. We're going to enter that new world, the real world, the world of God. The world where you need a spiritual body, an eternal body, like the one God has and Jesus Christ has. And that's what God is going to give to us. That's the only way you can have eternal life, is to have a body that will live forever, never die. And Geneva is going to have that new body, a spiritual body. Verse 49 says, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, then physical, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ. We'll become like him. And then closing here, and let's read verses 20 through 23 together. But now Christ is risen from the dead. He's alive. And he has become the first fruits of those who have, there's the word again, fallen asleep. So Geneva Ward fell asleep 2 weeks ago, smiling and saying goodbye to Patricia and her sons, saying, I'll see you. No, not tomorrow. They said, we'll see you tomorrow, Mom. No, in a few seconds. Because to her, it's going to be that quick. Notice verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and then afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Those who are Christ's, those who have died, or if we have that incredible opportunity to live to see his return, some who are younger may live to see that day happen in this life. But on the other hand, many of us, we may go to sleep before that day comes. So that's what Geneva Ward knew. She knew these scriptures, and as Patricia said, she had come to completely trust God. So Geneva is now asleep, but when Christ returns, which may not be too far off in the future, and when she is resurrected from the dead, I think she'll be smiling and waving to her family and probably say, "See, I told you so. I'll see you in a few seconds."